Welcome. I'm Nestor Flores, the pastor of Dayspring Church in Mission Hills, California. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast. I want to invite you to learn more about Dayspring Church by visiting our website, dayspringmh.org. We trust that if you open your heart, God will speak to you and you'll know how to live a life with God at the center that will result in a blessed life. This message will inspire, build your faith, and help you to know God better. Enjoy the message.
We want to welcome you. We also want to greet everyone who's watching us online. We know that there's a community of our church that watches online. We hope soon you can join us in person and you can be here. When you walked in, you should have gotten a bulletin. If you didn't get one, you can raise your hand and one of the ushers is going to bring one to you. Just kind of raise your hand. They'll bring one to you. You'll be able to follow along with me. I want to start with a little bit of humor. Is that all right? You know, I think many people didn't catch our three-week notice that our service had been changed to 9:30. So it reminded me of this joke. It says that Bobby arrived to the football game late. The game had already started. In fact, his team had already scored. And when he arrived to the game, his friend said, "Why are you so late?" To which Bobby replied, "Well, you know, I got to be honest with you and let you know that I couldn't decide if I should go to church today or if I should come to the football game." So his friend said, "Well, what did you do?" He said, "Well, I flipped the coin. Heads meant that God wanted me to come to church and tails that God wanted me to come to the football game." His friend said, "Well, it doesn't take too long to flip a coin." He says, "I know, I had to do it 35 times. So I'm glad that you are here today. Amen. I don't know if you flipped the coin or if you fought your sheets or if you are running on empty coffee, but I'm glad you're here. You know, I love Sundays. I love Sundays. Sunday is my favorite day of the week. And out of all the Sundays, Easter Sunday is my favorite one. Because you know what? Easter is the most important event in history. There is no other event that has changed history like the resurrection of Jesus from the grave. In fact, it is not the cross, the foundation of our faith. It is the empty tomb that is the foundation of our faith. Paul said the following in 1 Corinthians 15, 14. It's not in your outline, but look at what he says. They'll put it on the screen. He says, "And if Christ has not been risen, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." But guess what? Our faith is not useless because there's an empty grave. And see, the horrible events of Friday become a glorious event when seen from the perspective of an empty tomb. So today I want to share with you on the topic of the message of an empty tomb. What does an empty tomb say to you and to me? Let's pray and then we'll jump into the message. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are in this place this morning. Today we celebrate that although you gave your life, you did not remain in the tomb. You are alive. And Lord, we can encounter you. We can experience you. We can have you touch us this morning. We can hear your voice. We can be renewed. We can be transformed. So Father, I pray that however we may have walked in, that we may walk out knowing that we are who you say we are. Speak to us. Remove every distraction. And Lord, may we be blessed by your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you have your bulletin, would you open it inside? There's an outline. You can pull that out and follow along with me. Look at what Matthew 28 tells us. Verses 1 through 6 narrates the story that has changed thousands of lives throughout the centuries. And the good news is that it can change yours today as well. Let's read it and look at what it says. Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6. It says, "Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was what? Dawning." Let me stop right there. Let me just tell you something funny that happened last night. My wife, we were driving to church this morning. We needed to be here really early. We were driving and she told me, "You know, last night I woke up exactly at 4:44 a.m. I just had the curiosity if there was something biblical about it. So she says she kind of Googled what 448 biblically means, and that in one of the articles she read that it was like 4 years, no, that it was 444 days, something like that, the public ministry of Jesus from the time he was baptized to the time that he died on the cross. And I thought that was very interesting. And then I told her, you know what, last night I woke up too. And I woke up at 2 in the morning, but I woke up because I heard somebody shooting a bunch of guns outside. But you see how she gets one message and I get one message. I don't know, I just thought it was funny. You would think that if God was going to speak to somebody, it would be the pastor, right? But here's the good news. God can also speak to you. And he does. Amen? So early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, who was it that went to the tomb? Where were the men? Come on, ladies, where were the men? Oh, they had worked too hard. They needed a day off. No, that's not what that was going on. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. Now, think about this. Earthquake is significant enough. But the fact that Matthew adds the word great is significant. If you want to find out why, study your Bible. Look at what happens next. For an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and what did he do? He conquered it. Did you know that manuscripts show us that it would take more than 20 men to move the stone into place? Yet one angel was able to move it aside and sit on top of it. Verse 3, his face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. In other words, I know you are looking for somebody who is dead. But look at verse 6. He isn't here. Come on, let's read the next part together. Why isn't he here? Let's read it together. He has risen from the dead. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Come, see where his body is laying. You know, in those days, there were rumors, as well as there are skeptics today, that either Jesus never really died or Jesus never really resurrected. Some say that Jesus never resurrected, that it was his disciples who made up the stories. I'll address that in just a minute. But some said that Jesus didn't really die, that all that happened was that he fainted and that his disciples brought him back to life. I remember reading a story of a lady who wrote into one of those question and answer forums, one of those Dear Abbeys. And she asked, Dear Abby, my friend says that at Easter, that Jesus just fainted on the cross and that his disciples nursed him back to health. What do you think? Sincerely, Confused. Dear Abby wrote back to this Dear Confused, and he said, Dear Confused, be your friend with a cat of nine tails 39 times. Nail them to a cross, hang them in the sun for 6 hours, run a spear through their side, put him in an airless tomb for 36 hours, and see what happens. There's no doubt that Jesus died. But there's also no doubt that Jesus resurrected. Did you know that his disciples were not expecting Jesus to resurrect? Although Jesus told them, they were not expecting them. You know how we know this? Because if they were expecting Jesus to resurrect, it would not have been the woman visiting the tomb, but it would have been the man. The man responded like you and I would respond if a loved friend of ours would pass away. See, the word empty isn't usually good news. The word empty is not a positive word in many cases. The word empty does not bring us joy, does not bring us something to celebrate about. An empty fridge means there's no food and we go hungry. An empty gas tank means there's no progress and we can't reach our destination. An empty bed feels lonely. An empty wallet makes you unsettled and envious of others. An empty mailbox or inbox means there's a disconnect or a non-response. An empty playground is joyless. An empty chair at a dinner table means there's pain and brokenness. An empty house feels lifeless. But an empty tune means good news. It is one of the few times that the word empty actually means something good. So what I want to do today is I want to show you what the message of an empty tomb is. And I want to take the word empty. I've made it an acronym for us to see what God wants us to know, what God wants us to hear about an empty tomb. Are you ready for this? Number one, the first message of an empty tomb, you ready for this? Even death wasn't strong enough. The first thing that an empty tomb tells us is that even death wasn't strong enough. I want us to break down Matthew 28:6. And we're going to look at what that message is. Look at how the verse 6 begins. And he says, he isn't here. Right? The woman went to the tomb early in the morning. And when they arrived, they discovered that the stone had been rolled away and that the tomb was empty. They ran to go tell his disciples, which the disciples then ran to the tomb to confirm that indeed the body of Jesus was not there and that the tomb was empty. They couldn't explain it and they didn't understand it. At first they were sad, but now they were also confused and filled with suspicions. And it wasn't until very much later that they realized what had happened. And they discovered that not even death could defeat Jesus. Listen, death didn't defeat Jesus then, and death will never defeat Jesus. Look at what Romans 6:9 tells us. We know that Christ has been risen from the dead, and he will never what? Die again. The first message of the tomb is that Jesus defeated death. See, on Friday at the cross, he defeated sin. But on Sunday, as he rose from the grave, he defeated death. Did you know that Jesus always broke up funerals? Jesus will show up to funerals and the dead will come back to life. The dead would hear the voice of Jesus and come back to life. Why? Because Jesus is greater than death. You know what this means? You know what this means? An empty tomb means, and you can fill this out in your outline, that you don't have to fear death anymore. You don't have to fear death anymore. John 14:19, right there in your outline as well, it says, Jesus speaking, he says, because I live, you also will live. Truth is that the number one fear of most people is death, is dying. And many people fear death because they don't understand it and because they can't control it. But the good news of an empty tomb is that Jesus is above the dead and we don't have to fear it anymore. In fact, the Bible tells us that those of us who come to Jesus, that we can grieve with joy. We grieve, we're sad that we lose a loved one, but we can grieve with joy because we know it is not the end of our existence. Because we know that we will be reunited again. Because we know that although we are separated, we do not cease to exist. The resurrection, an empty tomb, proves that the grave was not the end of Jesus. And I want to tell you this morning that it doesn't have to be your end as well. Second, the message of an empty tomb is that a meaningful new life is available. A meaningful new life is available. There's some new people in this room. And I want to tell you something that I know about you. In fact, I know this about everybody. And you can know this about me. And that is that we all want to have meaning in our lives. We all try to bring meaning to our lives. We try to do it by pleasure. We try to do it with passions. We try to do it with performances. We try to let people bring us a meaning. We try to obtain it through possessions or even a position. And here's why. It's not a bad thing. Because when we have meaning, life is worth living, isn't it? When you know your life matters, when you know your life is making a difference, life is worth living. And see, the second message of an empty tomb is that a meaningful new life is available for you. Look at what Matthew 28:6, the second part of that verse says. It says, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Now, you may ask yourself, Pastor, what does Jesus rising from the dead have to do with me having new life? Well, let me show you. Look at what 1 Peter 1:3 says. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy, check this out, that we have been what? Born again. To be born again is another expression for new life. And check this out. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with what? Great expectation. See, Jesus died to pay for your sins, but he rose so that we could have new life. Let me tell you, let me put it simply. In an empty tomb, you will not only not find Jesus, but in an empty tomb, you should not find your past. An empty tomb means that our Savior is alive. And it also means that our past, that our old life, that our sins, that our mistakes have been paid for. You know what this means for you this morning? Here's what it means. Fill this out in your outline. It means that you don't have to live with guilt and shame. You don't have to live with guilt and shame. And all of us have a list, or could have a list of all the things that we're ashamed and that we're guilty of. But let me tell you, the cross was the payment for your shame and guilt. And the resurrection is the guarantee of your new life. God made a promise in the Old Testament that he fulfilled through Jesus. What is that promise, Pastor? Let me show it to you. Ezekiel 36:26. Here's what God promised. He said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. God fulfilled that through Jesus. Why would God promise to give us a new heart and a new spirit? Here's why. Because he knew you would need new thoughts and a new love to follow him and live your new life. He would give you a new mind to understand what he says, to be able to obey him. And he would give you a new heart to be able to love him. So I want to tell you that I don't know what you are today, but I know what you could be. You could be a new person. Because the message of an empty tomb is that a meaningful new life is available to us. The third message of an empty tomb is that it proves he is who he said he was. An empty tomb proves that Jesus is who he said he was. Look at Matthew 28:6. It says, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead just as what he said. Check this out. The night Jesus was arrested, he was taken to, he went through about 6 different trials. All of them illegal. 6 different trials. Some people say more, some people say less. Let's go with 6. 6 different trials, and all of them were illegal. They could not find one single reason to accuse Jesus of, although they hired false witnesses. You know why they ended up killing Jesus? You know what was the legal accusation through which they were able to kill Jesus? He claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed to be divine. He claimed to be God. Look at what Jesus said in one occasion in John 2:19. He said, destroy this temple. And he wasn't talking about a building. He was talking about his body. He says, destroy this temple and I will raise it again. In what? 3 days. The reason they killed Jesus, he claimed to be God. And guess what? An empty tomb proves that he was who he said he was. That he truly is God. Romans 1:4, look at what it says. And he has shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. See, to predict your death and resurrection is no joke. To be able to pull it off, not anybody can. And anybody that claims to be the Son of God and says, I can prove it to you by dying and resurrecting on the third day, is either crazy or they're God. And if Jesus was able to pull it off, then it proves that he is who he said he is. And Pastor, why is it that an empty tomb proves that Jesus was the Son of God? Why not his miracles? Why not his teachings? Well, if you read your Bible, you know that there were other people who did miracles. If you read your Bible, you know that there were other great teachers. But nobody has been able to come back from the grave like Jesus has. And an empty grave proves that he is who he says he is. The Bible tells us that after his resurrection, he appeared for about 40 days. And that he appeared to many people. And after Jesus ascended to heaven, there was approximately a little bit over 120 followers gathered together. That were gathered together because they believed that Jesus was who he said he was, because they had seen him come to life. Let me tell you, that 2,000 years later, there is 2.3 billion followers who believe that Jesus is who he said he is. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for me? Well, you know what that means? That means we don't have to live in doubt. We live in a time where truth is claimed to be everywhere. But let me tell you, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the resurrection. And you can bank all your money, you can bank all your life that Jesus is who he said he is. Now, check this out. Pastor, how do we know that Jesus really did resurrect? How do we know, as some people believe, that it wasn't made up, that it wasn't a story that was just made up? Well, let me give you one proof. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I'm going to give you one proof. His followers, his disciples, believed it. They believed that Jesus was who he said he was because he resurrected. And they believed it enough, listen to this, that they were willing to die for that belief. And many of them did. Ask yourself, what has it got to take for you to be willing to die for a made-up story? And if it's not made up, then how powerful must it be for somebody to be willing to give their life? And if you say, well, Pastor, we can't prove that. That was back then. You want some up-to-date proof? It's in this room. Many of us, we've been transformed. Many of us, we've been saved. Many of us, we've been healed. Many of us, we're alive because he is alive. Because he is who he said he is. The fourth message of an empty tomb is that I can trust his promises. You can trust God's promises. Matthew 28, 6. Let's continue in that verse. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Just as he said, what would happen? Did you know, you might want to write this down somewhere. Did you know that there are over 3,576 promises from God to you? Over 3,576 promises. I'm not good at math, but I did the math. That's approximately about 10 promises per day. Can I tell you some of those promises? God has promised to supply your needs. God has promised to bring you joy and fill your heart with gladness. He has promised that all things will work out for your good. He has promised to guard your path. He has promised to direct you with wisdom. He has promised to never leave your side. He has promised to answer your prayers. He has promised to comfort you in times of trouble. He has promised to provide rest. He has promised to give you peace. He has promised that nothing can separate you from his love. And he has promised us eternal life. But one of the greatest promises that God has made is that he would restore us back to him. And the way he did it was through Jesus. He kept this promise. And an empty tomb tells us that God can be trusted for his promises. Because a promise is only as reliable as the one who makes it. We all got that family member, right? That says, I'll be there. And what do we know in the back of our head? Just put 5 plates. He's not coming. Or we all got that family member that says, I'll be there 7 sharp. And they start getting ready at 7 sharp. If you're here, you're one of those. God is talking to you. Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Because of an empty tomb, you can trust in God's promises. He fulfills every single one of his promises. Hebrews 10:23 says the following. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. How do we know God can be trusted? Look to the empty tomb. He promised to restore us. He promised to come back to life. And he did it. Now, you have to understand something. There's 2 types of promises that God makes. Unconditional and conditional. There are certain things that God has promised to do regardless of what we do. But there's certain promises that God has promised to do when we obey, when we do what he asks of us to do. So what does it mean that we have to, that we can trust his promises? You ready for this? It means that you don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to do it on your own. You can trust in his promises. You can count on his word. Look at what Philippians 4:19 says. My God will meet your every need out of his riches in the glory that is found where? Jesus Christ. You know, I love this verse. I've talked about this verse before, but let me remind you just in case you've forgotten. Let's read it. Let's read it one more time. Look at what it says. My God will meet your every need. Out of where? Out of his riches. You can't give more than what you got. And some of you are not willing to give even what you got. But he owns the cattle on 1,000 fields. He owns the stars and the galaxies, and he owns everything. And we are told that God will meet our need, not out of the stimulus check. Come on, somebody. Some of you haven't thanked God. Not out of what you got left over. That God will meet your needs out of his wealth. I don't know if you got a wealthy family member. But there's some people that if they wanted to be generous, they could make your life. But none of them can like he will through his promises. Amen. Last but not least, the 5th message of an empty tomb is that an empty tomb yells, it's okay. An empty tomb yells, it's okay. Look at what it says in Matthew 28:6, the last part. Come see where his body was laying. Do you know where we get that expression, okay? Do you know what okay means? In the old days of war, it was said that in the middle of the camp, there was a board. And whenever soldiers went out to war, or whenever soldiers went out on their daily patrols, at the end of the day, there was a report that was given. And on that whiteboard, they would write how many soldiers lost their life in battle. When no soldiers died and all returned home, a 0 and a K was written in the board. 0 killed. Everything is okay. An empty tomb tells us that one was killed, but he didn't stay dead. That everything It's okay. In other words, that there's victory. That there's victory for us. That we don't have to settle for defeat. That there's victory. In fact, would you fill that out in your outline? What does it mean that everything is okay? Well, it means that I don't have to live defeated. If you walked in this morning and you feel defeated because your marriage is not what it is, your career, your education is not what it is, your family is not what it is, you can look to the tomb where the tomb yells, everything will be okay. Look at this next verse, Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. The enemy wants to keep you from knowing this verse. Did you know that? If there's something that I would want you to take this morning, it's this last verse. Look at what it says. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Did you know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, is the same power that is in you? So, question. If that power was able to defeat death, you don't think that power can pay your rent? You don't think that power can defeat cancer? You don't think that power can transform a rebellious child? You don't think that power can heal a marriage? You don't think that power can restore a mind? The same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that is in you and that is in me, and we can live victorious. That is the message of an empty tomb. Mark, would you come up here? That is the message of an empty tomb. An empty tomb presents to us a living man. As I was preparing for this message, I read something that really just rattled my world. It said that the stone was rolled aside not to let the living Jesus out, but to let dead people in. Because there is not death in that grave, because he has defeated death. And the message of the cross is a powerful one. An empty tomb has a message. To science and philosophy, it says, explain this event. To history, it says, repeat this event. To time, it says, blot out this event. But to you and me, it says, believe this event.
We hope you enjoyed this message. But before you go, we want to extend an invitation to start a personal relationship with Jesus and declare him your God. No one loves you like Jesus, and no one will impact your life for good like Jesus will. Would you make the following prayer your prayer? Heavenly Father, I repent of my wrongdoing. I open my heart and I want to have a personal relationship with you. I trust that Jesus died so I could be forgiven, but he didn't stay dead. He rose back to life so I could have eternal life. From today on, I will follow you, transform my life through your truth and love. In Jesus' name, amen. Congratulations. If you made that prayer, God lives in you, and now you have a new life in him. Connect to a church so your faith and love for God can continue to grow. We believe that you can find a loving and encouraging community in Dayspring Church. Come visit us. You belong here. We would love to meet you.